This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. We're in the second sermon of Advent, and Advent is the start of the new year, of the liturgical calendar. So we're kicking off this new year. We're in the second Sunday of Advent. We've been specifically going through this sermon series. We're titling this sermon series, Close to Home. The reason we're doing this is because there's so many metaphors and images within the Christmas story of home. There's refugees fleeing from home, seeking sanctuary, seeking to make a place for a newborn baby to be born, seeking home. And just as there's all these metaphors and images within the Christmas story, within the Gospels of home, there's also in us lots of feelings about home. Many of us get excited, maybe to go home for the holidays, to see that same beautiful Christmas tree with those ornaments that you made when you were a child. My mom came in late to the service today. She's right here, and I had to call you out too. I was in the middle of scripture though. That was a holy moment. I couldn't call you out. When I go to her house, she still has this beautiful circle foil piece with a pink feather, and I made that, people. That's a little plug for my artistry for you. But anyways, we go home for the holidays. And some of us find joy in that, while others also recognize that there's deep grief. There's been loss in our homes, that there's empty seats around the tables in which we gather that someone should be sitting there. There's a longing in us to be reunited with those people. Some of us feel unsafe in our homes. Some of us have trauma in our homes. There's so much around home, especially home for the holidays. So in this Advent season, we are encouraging all of us to lean into it and to respectfully hold space for both, that both can coexist, that there can be these deep, beautiful, comfortable traditions while also a longing, a sense of loss, and a sense of grief. This sermon series is dedicated to home, home for the holidays, and close to home. Sometimes we see headlines, we hear headlines, and we hear of tragedies striking our worlds, our nations, and we say, oof, that hits close to home. So in this Advent sermon series, I hope you hold space for yourself, and I also simultaneously hope that there is dust blown off of your soul with inspiration from this amazing story that we read every single year at Christmas time. See, what I love about the Gospel of Luke, there's four Gospels within the Bible that we read, and they all start in different ways. Some of them start with genealogies or different stories, but this one, the Gospel of Luke, doesn't start with Jesus or the birth of Jesus, but rather starts with this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. It starts with them, this holy and righteous, obedient couple, older in age. Zechariah serves as a priest in the local temple, and he's burning incense one day. And the angel Gabriel appears to him as he's burning incense, and he's terrified, as I think most of us would be if we came into this sanctuary alone and an angel appeared to us. And the angel says to Zechariah, your wife, Elizabeth, is to bear a son. And Zechariah's like, listen, angel, been there, done that, tried that. She's pretty old in age. There's no way we're conceiving a child at this point. And so then the angel takes away his speech. And he's speechless for all of Elizabeth's pregnancy. Now, there's a joke that I wish I could tell, but I want to stay on task today. So I will refrain from that joke at this point. But simultaneously, as Elizabeth and Zechariah are going through this new baby, John, that she is to conceive and bring into the world, there's a woman named Mary in another town, who's pledged to be wed to Joseph. And the same angel appears to Mary in that same time frame and says, you're to have a son and to name him Jesus. He will be the Son of God. He will be the Messiah to bring into the world. And what's really interesting is Elizabeth and Mary are related. That there's this connection between the two of them. And so then Mary goes to find Elizabeth because she's all sorts of flustered with this news that she's to bear a child, especially out of wedlock. And she goes to Elizabeth, and the moment that Elizabeth hears Mary's voice, John, as a baby in utero, leaps with joy because there's a divine connection made between John the Baptist and Jesus within Mary's womb. And what I love about this text is it's setting the foundation. Because yes, Jesus could have easily just incarnate, come into the world, proclaiming the good news, sharing love and mercy and justice with all of the world. But what's wonderful and miraculous and beautiful about the biblical text that we read is that there are prophets hundreds of years prior to Jesus' arrival prophesying of the coming of the Son of God, coming of Christ. Malachi specifically speaks of this, those 400 years later that Jesus finally arrives. But there's all these foundations made before Jesus comes into the world. And I believe, rightfully so, for several many divine reasons. One, to show how interconnected we are through our relatives, our communities, our ancestors. And also to prepare our hearts and our homes for the reality of what it means for Christ to come into the world. What does it mean for us as people of faith to know that God in flesh calls us beloved and good? See, there's a laying of foundation in this text. And that's the title of today's sermon, is we lay these foundations of faith. Many of us within this room talk about our own faith journey. And we might talk about grandparents or great-grandparents or cousins or aunts or uncles or parents or people of community around us or churches in our hometowns, because there's this interconnected foundation that we share, that we have of our faith. Just as much as when we read a text like this, preparing the way for Christ's birth, we have this foundation. John the Baptist lays a foundation for the whole world, saying, it's time. Christ is coming into the world. Prepare yourselves, for he is here. Now, laying the foundations. How many of you in here have built your own home? Any of you? Okay, good. I'm in good company. I've never built my own home. But I had this metaphor that I wanted to use. And thank goodness my husband has built homes before so he could help me work out all the details of the words and phrases that I don't know about building a home. But there's something that's so crucial in building a physical home. That when we build a physical home, we must first lay the foundation. You must assess the area of the property. You must assess the condition of the earth, of the soil. And then you must dig deep enough into the ground to find the hard rock surface to lay that foundation. And then once you lay the foundation needs time to set, to sit for a while. And then, of course, you can start building and using wood and hammers and wrenches and all those things that you use to build a home. And then even after that, the foundation still needs time to settle. That the earth is still shifting and moving in that foundation through time, through years, through storms and through seasons will continue to settle. Now, a good foundation, a firm foundation, will move maybe just slightly. You might see just one little crack in the corner, nothing too major. Now, a poor foundation, a weak foundation, causes structural damage to the home. That then you have to go back in, reassess the foundation. You have to help the structural support of that physical home. And in the same way, our faith is built. All of us within here have a foundation of our faith. Like I said, some of those foundations come from ancestors, come from generations that went before us. But we all have a bit of foundation. And there's a reason that Christmas and Easter are the highest attendance rates for churches, simply because they're foundational to our faith. Because there's something miraculous, divine, beautiful about the story of God incarnate coming into the world through a beautiful, vulnerable, precious, beloved baby. And at Easter time, that same precious, beloved, beautiful baby that grows to a man is crucified, dies, and is resurrected. These stories that we celebrate within the Christian faith are foundational to how we build upon our faith, how we continue building the home that we live in. Now, over time, you're going to renovate your home, of course. Burnt orange does not always look good in the kitchen, so at some point, you're going to want to paint. You're going to want to extend the walls. You're going to want a bigger bathroom, a bigger closet to meet all your needs. But you can't do that unless the foundation is set, unless the foundation is set firmly on a rock of faith. You can't do that unless your foundation is sturdy enough to handle the storms and the seasons of life. Now, as I was preparing for this sermon today, I lean into what a firm foundation is, what a solid foundation is. And then there's this other side of me, well, it's like, well, what's a weak foundation? What is the house that's built on sand look like? And just as much as I would never dare tell a chef that their sauce was weak, I would never tell any of you that your faith is weak. However, I'm going to give an example of what I think is a weak foundation of faith. And that's miracles. Miracles are beautiful. Miracles are wonderful. I have miracles that have happened to me in my life that I will never forget and that I hold firmly to, but they're not the foundation of my faith. Because if miracles are the foundation of your faith, then it looks something like this. If God will just heal my loved one from cancer, I'll believe. If God would just take this thorn out of my flesh, I will believe. If God will do this, this, and this for me, like a genie or Santa Claus, then I'll believe. Friends, that is no foundation to set your faith upon. Because let me tell you, when those storms of life do come, when you lose a child, when you lose a parent, a loved one, when the diagnosis comes through, when the hardships of the relationship happen, when the divorce is filed, your foundation will shake if that's what it's built upon. But if you have a foundation that says, regardless of whatever storm comes to me, regardless of the erosion that takes place within the world and the earth around me, I know that God is good. And I know that God calls me beloved, that God came into the world because God loves me that much, that God sent a Savior in the form of a baby, that God sent a Savior in the form of a refugee, that God sent a Savior in the form of a carpenter, that God sent this Savior for me to take note of a ministry of love, hope, joy, and peace in the world. Friends, that's a foundation that you can live upon. That when the storms of life come to you, however they may be, whether they're like a wrecking ball and just a total destruction site, you know that you can still have that foundation to rebuild your home. Amen.